You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. I am Noah Hiles. She is Abby Schnabel. Abby, this is March. I can't believe it. The last time we recorded, it was leap day, right? So, yeah, we had an annoying extra day preventing us from March. How disrespectful. But we are here. It is the month that you and I both look forward to most in the year. I don't know. Like, there's just something special about it, right? Like, there's conference tournament basketball that's going to be played in like 2 hours from now, you know, between two schools I have not watched an ounce of, but will be putting my hard earned money on the line for. It's just the best time of year. Before we get started, I just want to ask, I mean, how excited are you?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, this is what the Schnabel family lives for.
I'm so excited. I've been listening to my mom talk about how she's taking off work. Like, she's coming in town next week, so we're going to watch all the conference tournament games together. And then, because I honestly love conference tournament weekend just because not only is it...
It's even better.
Yes, right. It's more games. So we're going to watch that. You know, I'm just stoked because I get to be in the action again this year, you know, getting to cover the teams that will be coming to Pittsburgh to be announced. I'm just stoked. Like, you know, I've been sick this week, so what have I done? Sat, watched basketball, gone down into rabbit holes of bracketology. It's been lovely. Best way to be sick. It's just exciting. I can't believe how fast the season has gone.
I have a bold prediction that doesn't go along with the show. This is just off a hunch.
Okay.
Kentucky will be one of the teams that plays in this Pittsburgh regional.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Kentucky. I've seen a lot of Duke. I've seen a lot of...
Which, as for someone who's going to be covering it, you couldn't ask for a better...
No, yeah.
Because the head coach is from Pittsburgh. One of the stars on the team, Adu Thiero, is from Pittsburgh. Like
Trey Mitchell.
Trey Mitchell. Yeah, right. There's so many storylines, and they're Kentucky. So people, you know, that's perfect. We're going to keep doing this. We're just riding on the highs. I know people want to hear our analysis and everything, but what's your favorite memory of just conference tournament week?
Oh, God. It probably has to go back to final when Loyola made the year Loyola made it the Final Four. That was my first MVC tournament as a student of one of the teams. We had gone to the MVC tournament before, Arch Madness, they call it.
Yep.
In St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
So we had gone before because my grandparents worked a lot of, like, facilities type things, so they would get us tickets and we would go. But that was my first time going as a student and, like, sitting there watching the game with my mom, being on the edge of my seat, like, the whole time for them to win. Like, I was a big – this was before I had gotten into journalism, so I was a big fangirl, had made a poster – and everything. And that was just a surreal moment to like watch them get to cut down the nets, get to lift up the trophy. So that'll go down as one of my favorites all time. I mean, you can't, especially when you think about like that team and what they did.
Porter Moser, Clayton Custer, my guy Cameron Krutwig.
Yeah. So, but what about you? You've been to a handful.
Yeah, no, actually, I'm going to take my favorite memory back. I don't know if I've ever told you this story or shared it, like, on a podcast, but this is one of my favorite stories about, like, how much I love college basketball, especially how much I loved it growing up. So I think it was my sophomore year or my junior year of high school, one of those two. And it was the Big East tournament. And growing up in this area when Pitt was in the Big East, I mean, the Big East tournament was not far behind like the actual NCAA tournament. Like it was, because that's when like the Big East was sending 10, 11 teams to the big dance every year. And most of the time, if you won that, you're probably going to be going pretty far in the real thing too. So it was exciting. And Pitt had this afternoon game against UConn that I was like, I got to watch this. Like this Kemba Walker guy is going insane right now. I have to watch him play Pitt. So I watched the first half and then my class changed and I had chemistry. And in chemistry class, we had a test. And I was like, bad reflection on my academic focus, but I was like, I could care less about the stupid chemistry class. I know what I want to be. I want to be a sports writer. I don't need to know chemistry. I'm going to get my C and I'm going to be done. So I took it as fast as possible, just filling out everything. If I didn't know it immediately, it was C, you know? We've all been there. So then after that, I'm on my phone and trying to, like, get, you couldn't even watch TV on your phone at this point. So, like, I'm watching, like, the ESPN score bug or whatever. Yeah. And she, my teacher was like, get off your phone, like, yelling at me. And this is when I realized across the hall was Mr. K's class. And during conference tournament week, they did not do a thing but watch Big East basketball. So I knew, I'm like, if I get kicked out, I get to go stand in the hallway and I can just look through Mr. K's door and watch these last couple of minutes. Because there's like 4 minutes left in this game. And I was like, all right, this is the mission. So I'm doing anything I can to get kicked out of class. Like I'm talking during the test. Like I'm on my phone. I have my phone like on top. I'm not even trying to hide it. And so she goes, give me your phone and get out. And I was like, deal. And I hand it to her and I go out there. And obviously if you're know anything about college basketball, you know what happens at the end of this game. Kemba Walker. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like one of the most iconic moments in Big East basketball history. Gets, you know, final shot, UConn. Drives, pulls back, breaks Gary McGee's ankles, cardiac Kemba, hits the buzzer beater. And I'm in the hallway, just like the whole class like turned out and looked. Cause like, you know, we'd be interacting with each other through the door. And I'm in the hallway going, yeah, or whatever. And when Kemba hits that shot, like I just stood there with my jaw to the floor. Like I couldn't believe what I saw. But I mean,
that sounds sorry.
That's it.
That sounds like almost exactly what happened to me during Loyola's first NCAA tournament game in 2018. First one since the 80s.
Yeah.
I have a biology quiz. We ask our professor to, like, move the biology quiz because, like, first time since 1985. Like, come on. He doesn't. I bombed it. I don't care because I got to watch the buzzer beaters. This like, Dante March, Ingram's right. Yes. Logo shot. Like,
yep.
And then, you know, 2 months later, I switched my major to journalism, so it didn't matter anyway. Right. But, yeah, you just get so many moments like that, and I love it.
All right. So we've spent 7.5 minutes reminiscing. we're gonna get to the basketball talk here soon. Before we do, we got to talk about our show's presenting sponsor, which is Mike's Beer Bar. If you're in town for March Madness later this week, you need to stop by Mike's Beer Bar, which is right across the street from PNC Park. And has the best selection of beer in town, as well as amazing food options. They have over 20 TVs, so you can watch the men's tournament, the women's tournament, the NIT, the CBI, the whatever other thing that, you know, the worst teams in college basketball get invited to. They'll have all of it on it, Mike's. You can try out all their different beers there, 500 different available beers, 300 of them being local beers, as well as 80 different local craft beers available on tap. You can get a flight, try out every option you can dream of. You can also get an awesome meal called the Steak on a Stone, where it's a steak that cooks right in front of you on a hot, heated stone, and you can control, you know, how well it's cooked there. So you got to try all of that out. Come down to Mike's Beer Bar and get your sports fix at the best bar in the city of Pittsburgh. All right, Abby. 8.5 minutes in. Normally our shows are only like 15 minutes, but you know, March Madness excitement, it overtook us today. So my question for you, is Pitt being overlooked by bracketologists right now. I mean, we've reached a point where I think the consensus seems to be that this is a first four team out. Lenardi, as of what time we're recording around 10:30 Thursday morning, has not dropped his latest update. I think he had them in the next four out. But like, I would have to assume they're probably going to get a little bit of a bump here just because other teams have been losing. CBS has them in the first four out. A lot of the other, you know, I think DeCourcy had them in the first four out. A lot of the other notable bracketologists, that's kind of where they are. Which is, I don't know, like not the craziest thing in the world. Like if you're going with what their win total is, their Ken Palm, their net, they're a bubble team. But my question to you is like, aren't they better than most of these other teams on the bubble? I'm looking around and I don't see like a ton of great teams ahead of them. And normally I try to stay in a position where it's like, I don't want to cater to, you know, the passionate diehard fans who always think their team is being slighted. Cause that's not my job. You know, I hear them and I understand where they're coming from, but I have to try to remain neutral here, but I'm just looking. I have 10 other bubble teams right now and we're going to go through them, Abby. I want you to tell me if this team's more deserving than Pitt or not. Okay. So Pitt right now for our listeners is 20-10, is 44 in the net, is 43rd in KenPom. Those are the metrics we're going off of. I know we could go into quad wins. I know we could go into road, you know, records or whatever else, strength of schedule. But here's the thing. When bracketologists post their rankings, the two things that they use to justify, like, just on the logos, like, at the surface, we could dig deeper. But at the surface, the two things that are the big metrics are net ranking and your record. Those things, more than anything else, tell the story. And you can argue and say there's more to it and there's more context, but those are the two biggest things that everyone wants to show next to. It's like home runs and whatever else, OPS plus or something. Like those are your two big metrics in baseball. These are that for basketball. So again, Pitt, 20-10, 44 net, 43 KenPom. So you look at the teams around them right now. Three teams around them in the bubble conversation have more wins. Mm-hmm. But is Drake a better team than Pitt?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I don't think so. It's behind Pitt in bracketology, right? So we can cross them off the list, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Drake.
I mean, just when you look at it, I mean, the Pitt strength of schedule has to be more challenging than Drake just because of the conferences they're
right
in. Like,
Drake might be an automatic big team anyway. Like,
Yeah, I mean, Indiana State's doing pretty well in the MVC too. So, you know, but when you just, you know, Drake's playing MVC teams, and don't get me wrong, I love the MVC, but they're not ACC teams. So, yes, I think it's fair to cross off Drake.
And for the sake of this, I'm going to run through. So the other teams we're considering right now, St. John's, Utah, Providence, Iowa, Seton Hall, Colorado, Drake, Memphis, Villanova, New Mexico. So, like I said, of this group of 10 compared to Pitt, only three of them have more wins than Pitt. The other two, aside from Drake, Memphis, another team under consideration, 22-8, 70 net, 71 KenPom. Another team that's not a Power 5 team, or a Power 6 team, I should say. A team that played well in the beginning of the year, has kind of sucked since. I don't think this team is a tournament team, and bracketologists kind of echo that. They're further down on the pecking order than Pitt. Would you agree with that, Abby?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I don't know if they have any notable wins like Pitt does. Like, Pitt's got the Duke win. Pitt's got a win over Wake Forest. And I don't necessarily, when you look at Memphis's schedule, like, their best win,
FAU.
I mean, they beat Clemson, they beat Virginia, so those are great wins against the field. They beat Texas A&M when Texas A&M was ranked, but like
Virginia,
a ranked Arkansas team. But like you said, those were all at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. It's now February. What have they done since then? So I think it's fair to cross them off as well.
New Mexico. Don't think we need a lot of time to look at this one. 22-8, 26 net, 36 KenPom. They're better in every one of those three things. I think New Mexico's a tournament team. I don't really know if this is a team that deserved to even be on the bubble, if we're being honest. I think that that's a team that should be like a 9 seed maybe. All right, so now we get into the murky waters of this group of teams that's they're all in a power conference. Most of them are Big East schools. And you got a couple of Pac-12 and one or two Big Tens in here as well. But of this group, St. John's, Utah, Providence, Iowa, Seton Hall, Villanova, Colorado, who do you think's the best out of that group?
Tell me the teams you want me looking at again.
St. John's, Utah, Providence, Iowa, Seton Hall, Villanova, Colorado.
I mean, I'm hot on Colorado right now.
I am too.
I just feel like they've been playing really well down the stretch, and this is the time you want to be playing your best basketball. I'm okay with St. John's in the mix. I think they've been a pretty solid team. However, I don't love that they moved up over a win over DePaul. Granted, it was a 30-point win, so that does move up your net a lot. But I mean, I think they've been playing well pretty consistently. But when you look at their record and compare it to a team like Pitt, I mean, for reference, Duquesne has more wins than St. John's. Yeah. Like, I know they're different kinds of wins, but like to be sitting here talking about teams that have a similar record to mid-major teams that wouldn't be even getting a consideration just because they are from a power conference is crazy to me. And so while I like St. John's and I think they're a good team, it's just like that 18-12 overall record keeps glaring at me over the fact that we're considering them higher than a Pitt team who is 20-10.
The thing about St. John's record is interesting too, because this was a team that not long ago was 14-12, mm-hmm. Abby. I mean, this is a team, you look at it like it's 1-4 straight. So on one side of the coin, you could say, okay, well, it's playing its best basketball right now. And it has a net of 36. It has a KenPom of 28. If you're inside the net 37, you're going to make the tournament, right? Like, that's what everyone believes. And KenPom being top 30 is a really good metric, and you've won four straight. But if you've won four straight and we're in the second week of March, or the first full week of March, and you have 18 wins, I don't think that this is a team that no longer, like, when they were 14-12, I was like, why is this team even in the conversation? Mm-hmm. I will say that now St. John's deserves to be in the conversation. I don't.
But why are they that high?
Exactly. Why are they on the right side? They should be in a spot where, like we're talking about with Pitt, needs to do more work. This is a team that needs to win its final regular season game. This is a team that needs to win two games in the Big East tournament, and then it should be fine. Same kind of thing for, I mean, like, you look like Providence, Seton Hall. Providence has a bad net in KenPom. Utah is kind of right around where Pitt is in those two metrics, but has a worse record and a worse league. Villanova is kind of falling apart. And Seton Hall is not that exciting, and neither is Iowa. Honestly, Abby, out of this group, Colorado and New Mexico, I'm fine with being put ahead of Pitt. After that, I don't really see many arguments for why Pitt isn't the third out of these 11 teams now, if you throw Pitt into that. So I do kind of agree that they're being a little overlooked.
Or even just in the top half. Like, they should definitely be in the top half. like they're playing, you know, I wonder how much of this has to do with, we talked about this before we hit record, you know, everyone keeps saying, oh, ACC's in a down year. They said it last year. They're saying it this year. How much is the anti-ACC bias hurting Pitt here? Because, you know, why is Wake Forest still over them? Like, I know Wake Forest had that 30-point win over them, but Wake Forest has lost to some bad teams. And that's the thing.
And Pitt also beat Wake Forest.
Yes. And that's the thing is Pitt hasn't lost since ACC play. They really haven't lost to any bad teams. And that's what's crazy to me is that we still have ACC teams over Pitt, a Pitt team that, you know, has done really well against projected tournament teams in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. So I think they're being a little overlooked. I don't know if it's because, again, like, there's the conversation about manipulating the net, but like teams with worse nets are ahead of Pitt. Like that's, they have less wins and worse nets. So like, I guess strength of schedule is, but isn't that factored in the net? Quad one wins. Isn't that factored in the net? Like, aren't those just variables that go into the overall equation? Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about here? So that's my question. I don't know. I still don't know if Pitt's going to make the tournament, but I'm getting closer and closer to really believing that it's like they should. Right yeah. now, as it currently stands, I think they should be probably one of the final four teams in. Mm-hmm. The final four teams out. I don't think it's a tremendous injustice to have them on the other side, but if they continue this path and don't get in, depending on who gets in ahead of them, there's an opportunity for a legitimate gripe to be had. We'll move on now to the highlight, and we'll keep this short because we went pretty long on that one. Just want to highlight Blake Henson. I mean, we talked about him. You guys talked about him on the show a couple weeks ago, right?
The mailbag last week.
Yeah, the mailbag last week. And it's – I don't know if he's player of the year in the ACC, and we're going to do accolades for the final part of the show. But, I mean, this is a guy who set another record this week. 104 threes this season, broke Ashton Gibbs's record, a guy I grew up really watching and admiring. And he's kind of done it all. And before I throw it over to you, I feel like it needs to be pointed out that coming into this year, this was his team, right? Everyone said that he needs to be the superstar. He needs to be the best player. And I even had a question of like, look, like, is he a great player? Yes. But how is he going to be as a leader? How is he going to replace, you know, the veteran presence that Jamarius Burton had, that Nelly Cummings had? You know, how is he going to be able to flip that switch from being the fun guy to being the vet? Something he's never really had to do in his career. And he's been everything this team has needed him to be. Mm-hmm. He's been a calming presence. He's been patient. He's also been a motivator and intense at times. And he's hit big shots. He's made big plays. And granted, you know, there are some games, you look at what Clemson did against him defensively. He wasn't a big factor at Wake Forest a couple weeks ago. But overall, he's been exactly what this team needs. And he's been one of the best players in the ACC.
Agreed. You hit it home. I have no notes, no comments.
No notes, no comments. All right. So on that note, we're going to go to prediction, all ACC awards. Abby, real quick here, let's just knock out our first team all ACC. I think there's only one Pitt Panther on it, but 1 through 5, we'll go through. Oh, does she have notes? Did you drop my pen. Oh, got a pen. All right. So I think RJ Davis is probably on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Reese Beekman, you think, as the other guard?
I'm hot on Reese Beekman, so I think so.
And then at my three, I'm probably going with Hunter Salas from Wake Forest.
Especially with, you know, them being a potential team, that's a good pick for sure.
I have Blake.
But at the same time, are Blake at the four and Kyle Filipowski at the five, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Are we overshooting PJ Hall?
Or Armando Bacot?
There's so many good players this year.
This is my ballot. Because here's what I'm looking at here. I'm looking at five guys who are the best player on their team. I'm looking at guys who all kind of took on different roles this year, aside from maybe Filipowski. Yeah, and I think that if you take each of these guys off their team is nowhere near what it is. Where I guess you could argue that for Bacot. I guess you could argue that for Hall. And Hall's probably the biggest omission here. But I don't know. I mean, Salas has been the best scorer, him and Davis, right? So maybe it's Salas you take off and then you put Hall at the four.
I think on my ballot, I take off Salas and put Hall. Just I've been big on PJ Hall this season, especially with how Wake Forest is trending downward. I don't love picking Salas over Hall, but like there's arguments for both for sure.
Yeah. And then we're just completely ignoring Armando Bacot.
I mean, with RJ Davis on there, I feel like, you know, having UNC representation already, like it pushes Bacot down for me, which is, you know, not the best way to look at it, but I can't put any of these other guys over, or I can't put Bacot over any of these other guys.
Yeah, I don't think it matters because I think he will be on there regardless of our vote. So, but yeah, I have to agree. I just think there's a bigger demand here for Filipowski and Duke. I think Henson has been incredibly valuable for Pitt. Salas, if Wake Forest makes the tournament, it's the first time since 2017. They need to have a player on there. Beekman's the guy that gets snubbed, but you need two guards. Yeah. So I don't know. So Blake's the lone Panther that gets first team recognition. Anyone get second team recognition from this Pitt team? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I mean, I think the other two guys we look to now are Jalen Lowe and Bub Carrington, and I don't necessarily know if they're they've been fantastic this season. There's no question about that. But I don't think they're necessarily high enough to overcome a lot of the veteran presence on these other teams. Again, you'd be putting Jalen Lowe up with a guy like Armando Bacot, who's a clear, probably first team player. But if on our imaginary ballot, we're putting him on the second team, and I just don't. I love Jalen and Bub. I think they're fantastic together, but I don't have them on my second team.
Okay, but I think it's fair to say we will have both of them on the all freshman team, correct?
Absolutely, and one of them winning freshman of the year, in my opinion. I don't think there's been another freshman. I think it's one and two for them. I'm a little nervous about splitting votes, and if they split votes, who does someone else get the rest of the votes and overcomes them? But I'd say one of them is going to be freshman of the year.
I think McCann from Duke will be. I mean, obviously, when you have a star freshman at Duke, like that's tough. But I mean, again, McCann is good, and he might even end up being like the better NBA player and better overall talent. But McCann is not, he might be the third best guard on his team, you know, where it's like these two guys, if they weren't playing, Pitt would be
in shambles.
Under 500, you know, they're like if Jalen Lowe did not emerge into what he is now, this team would be nothing. If Bub Carrington wasn't able to be what he is, they would have been in trouble from the start. So I think that, it has to be one of those two. I think McCann will probably be the one who actually does win it. Is it McCann or McCain? McCain, excuse me. I mean, and he's got the numbers, like 13.4, 4.9, 1.7. Like, that's solid. But I think if people who really watch the ACC, Those two guards mean more to their team and are bigger game by game than McCain, because McCain has some big shoulders to lean on. And I guess they do too with Henson, but it's not just Henson, or it's not just Filipowski with that team. They can rely on Jeremy Roach. They can rely on Proctor. They can rely on Mark Mitchell. Like there are other guys. So that's my thoughts on that. And then I guess the final accolade, I don't think there'll be anyone on the all defense team.
I think Zach Austin could sneak in.
Maybe.
I think he could sneak in. I'm not sold, but I do think I did have him written down as an asterisk. I think he could sneak in. It just depends on how many people are paying attention to Pitt.
Yeah, I think that's not a horrible take to have. I don't see it coming to fruition, but yeah. You know, like he's definitely their best argument. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other accolade that there could be a debate for is sixth man of the year, Ishmael Leggett. I think he's going to have a tough time beating Tyrese Proctor. Mm-hmm. But, like, how many games has Proctor started? That's where it gets wonky because both of them.
Yeah.
He started 19 games this year. Okay, so I don't know if he's a sixth man then.
Yeah, I don't know if you can consider him.
I don't know, yeah. I don't know what the criteria is for that.
Yeah, I don't know.
If he started 19 games, he's got to be ineligible for that award. So maybe it is Leggett. I don't know. Do you have any? Does anyone else pop off at the top of your head for this?
Not off the top of my head. I'm sure if I looked into it more, I could come up with some candidates. I like Ish on that, and I think that's a staple of a Pitt team. I mean, when you look at last year, Nike Spandy, Sixth Man of the Year. It makes sense that it would be Ish in that, like, I feel like Pitt has done a really good job of developing 6-7 solid players to win that kind of spot. Like, their sixth man truly could be a starter kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Malik Brown from Syracuse. Mm-hmm. Those would be probably my front runners for that. All right. Well, I think we're good here. Abby, any final thoughts as we wrap up here?
Next week, you will be in D.C. We will be in the thick of it.
Yes, we will. Next week, if Pitt is still playing next week, it will be in the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament. So exciting stuff. That's all we've got for Abby Schnabel. I'm Noah Heil saying thanks for tuning in as always. Check out all the work at post-gazette.com and check out all of our video analysis at the Post Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. See you later, folks.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.